Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. Today, we'll hear a Carl Sandburg story from his book with the unusual title of Rutabaga Pigeons. Now, he originally wrote these fantastical stories for his own three daughters as bedtime stories. He called his daughters Spink, Skabooch, and Swipes, not their real names, of course. He wanted those girls to have new fairy tales that were uniquely American and just for them. And this story is called Pig Wisps. It's brought to us by the storyteller Angela Lloyd, who is a great lover of Sandburg's work. And here she weaves it in with some of her own memories in a lovely retelling recorded live in the Appleseed studio. Here's Angela Lloyd with Pig Wisps.
Thank you. When I was a young girl, I was growing up in Caracas, Venezuela. And when I was 9 years old, my parents bought a house 20 minutes away from our school. And that began the ancient ritual of carpooling to school. Now, this was magnificent over at our house because my mama and her sister took turns driving us to school. Both my mother and her sister grew up playing music, and so this meant that when we were in the car with them, there was a pretty good chance we were going to have some music. We were going to be singing. And of course, in a car with my two younger brothers on either side of me and my cousin up in the front when my Auntie Ruth was driving, my brothers were poking me all the way to school. I loved it when Auntie Ruth drove because she was a singer. My mama was the pianist, but she loved to take care of her voice, which meant she had an endless supply of Vicks cough drops. When I would climb in the back seat of the car, I would say, "Auntie Ruth, I was wondering if I could have a cough drop." And she would say, "Is your voice sore?" And I would say, "Yes, it's a little dry." And I'd get in the back seat, and she would hand her 25-pound purse into the back seat, and I could unclasp it and open the box and the wax paper and get out that triangle-shaped cough drop with a V stamped on it. And I put it in my mouth. I would offer some to my brothers, and then we would hand the purse back up into the front seat. And with those vapors in the car, we sang all the way to school. Here is one of the songs my Auntie Ruth shared with us. "One day I ordered an oyster stew, alone, tee-hee, alone." That was our part in the back seat, "alone, tee-hee, alone." "And one little oyster hole in view, alone, tee-hee, alone. He looked at me and smiled in glee. 'I've been in many a stew,' said he. 'But don't tell the cook that you saw me, alone, tee-hee, alone.'" Well, many years later, I got thinking about that song. So there's one oyster, there's a pod, and there's bowls, and he's traveling between them all, and now he's floating in a bowl, and he's singing about it. Mm-hmm. Long ago, there was once a king of the oysters. And he was the king of the oysters because he took his two buckets and his folding chair and his sharp knife down to the beach early every morning. And there he sat, and he cut open the oysters, and he flapped them into a bucket. And if there was a pearl, he dropped it into the other bucket. Ding! He would cut open the oyster, flap it in. If there was a pearl, ding! Now the king loved pearls. And he also knew they were an irritation. That's how they came to be. Well, when I was visiting with my grandmother in the summertime, we were putting green stamps into those newspaper books. I know you know them. And she was looking at me one day and she said, "Angela, do you know where pearls come from?" And she was wearing hers around her neck. I said, "They come in an oyster." She said, "Yes, but do you know how they get there?" I said, "No." She said, "A little piece of sand gets in the oyster, and that little piece of sand is an irritation." And I said, "Oh, I know what that is. My brothers are my irritation. They poke me all the way to school." She said, "Well, let me tell you, your irritations one day will be pearls." The oyster learns to live with that little piece of sand. It makes them spit around it, and it makes something magnificent. Your irritations will be pearls. I thought, I can't wait. Well, the king had his own irritation. He had a son. His name was Shovel Ears. And Shovel Ears, he went down to the beach also every morning with two buckets and a knife to cut open the oysters. But he would cut them open, flap it in the bucket, and then he just dropped the shell. And then he would take up another, and he would cut it open, and he would flap the oyster, and he never remembered anything about pearls. And so when he went down the beach later in the morning and he showed them to his dad, his father said, "Why can't you remember to take out the pearls?" And Shovel Ears said, "I remember worse and worse. I forget better and better." Well, in this same village, there was a young girl named Pigwisps, and she had remembering stuff down. Also, her name, Pigwisps, she had two braids for school and one for church, just like me growing up. Maybe like you, too. And if you've ever looked at a girl with braids, around halfway through the day, you'll notice there's this wispiness that starts to happen, and that's how she had her name, Pigwisps. But she had this remembering stuff down. She would cross her fingers, and she said, "My cross fingers remember me where I'm going." And she would go every week twice down to the butcher store to get a soup bone. And she said, "The soup bone remembers me to go back home." Well, one day, Pigwisps was going down to the butcher store, and she ran smack into a tall, lanky boy with big ears. And Shovel Ears hit the ground, and she reached down and gave him a hand up, and she said, "Shovel Ears, why can't you remember to look where you're going?" And he said, "I remember worse and worse. I forget better and better." She said, "Shovel Ears, this is how I remember. I cross my fingers one over the other." And he tried it. Ow. Oh, look at that. Ow. You could try it if you want to. Ow. And then she said, just one over the other, Shovel Ears. But he started going the other way. Ow. Hey, what do you do with your thumb when your fingers are crossed? She said, Shovel Ears, I am going to the butcher store. Are you coming? He walked along beside her, uncrossing his fingers and making shadow puppets on the ground. When she got to the butcher store, she did what she always did. "The soup bone remembers me to go back home." And she went home, and Shovel Ears went straight back to the palace and sat outside the king's office door. He was going to wait to show him something he had just figured out or learned, but he fell asleep. And when the king came out, he scooped him up and he carried him up to bed, took his shoes off and tucked him in very nice and cozy. Well, the next morning, the king made his way down to the beach as always. And Shovel Ears, he took his buckets and his folding chair. And if you'd have seen him that day, he would have said to you, "You know, it's kind of hard to hold an oyster with your fingers crossed, even to hold a knife, but I just cross the other fingers and I can do it." And he cut open the oyster, he flapped it in, and there was a pearl. And he dropped it in the bucket. Ding! Oh, he took up another one, cut it open, lifted the oyster to just see if anything was there. There were two. He said, twins, twins. And he dropped them. Ding, ding. Well, he went down the beach that day and showed his father his buckets, the oysters and the pearls. And his father said, how did you do it? He said, Dad, look, you cross your finger over the other. And his father had never done it before. Ow. And he kept going. Ow. And they sat on the beach and they had the most fun they'd ever had in so long, crossing their fingers. And then they went home and they had bologna sandwiches with mustard. So good. And then the king went into his office and he wrote a letter to the people in charge of alphabets. He said, I want you to put in a letter X for crossed fingers for my son because he remembers. Put in a letter X. Well, the people in charge of alphabets got the letter in more ways than one. And they tried to figure out where to put it. Where would the letter X go? A, B, C, D, E, F, X. F, X. No, no, no. A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, X. L, M, N, O, X. That sounds like some kind of a cleaning fluid. Don't put that there. L, M, N, O, P, Q, R, S, X. S, X. Ooh, that's a little close. Don't put it there. Okay, QRSTUVWXYZ. Ooh, now that's nice. Listen to that. WXYZ. It's like going up a slide and coming down. WXYZ, put it there. So they sent the note back to the king, and Pig Wisps and Shovel Ears were married. Of course, time had passed, and on their wedding day, Pigwisp was taking one step forward and two steps back because her father, when he said, what are you doing? Don't you want to get married? Smiling to everyone around, she said, Daddy, when I put my foot through, I'm putting it through the pearl necklace that Shovel Ears made from the first day he remembered the pearls. I don't want to break the necklace, so I bring my foot back through. But they got to the end of the aisle and they crossed their fingers and promised to remember their promises to each other. And ladies and gentlemen, they had a long life and they became grandparents. And one afternoon, Shovel Ears and Pigwisp were sitting and he crossed his old fingers and he leaned toward her and he said, do you remember the day we met? And she said, I do. Because I had a fantasy of how I would meet my sweetheart, and then I bumped into you, and it never came true. And he said, oh, how was it? And he held up his fingers, and she held up hers, and she said, one day I'll go to the junior prom, alone, tee-hee, alone. And there I'll sit by the chaperone, alone, tee-hee, alone. And if a young man shall look at me, I'll smile at him and wink in glee. And maybe then I will not be alone, tee-hee, alone. And that, my friends, is one of three stories that Carl Sandburg wrote to explain how the letter X got into the alphabet.
Angela Lloyd with her adaptation of Pigwisps, the story by the great American poet Carl Sandburg. It's an unusual story from a set of unusual stories made up as bedtime tales. And listening to the story brings to mind the bedtime story traditions of my own life, the rituals that end the day as parents and children part for a while, even if they live in the same house or apartment or even the same room, each to spend time alone in sleep until they come together again when they wake up. You know, we prepare each other for that little nightly journey in all sorts of ways. In my house, when my kids were small, bedtime was song time. I would sing to the kids before saying goodnight. And our repertoire was all the hits. Hush, Little Baby, Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star, This Old Man. But one night, when my youngest son was just 3 years old, he asked for the Secret Fighter song. And, well, there's no such thing as the Secret Fighter song. So I did maybe what you might do. I made one up. And so my song went like this. Secret Fighter, running on the ground and climbing in the trees. Secret Fighter, crawling on their hands and crawling on their knees. Secret Fighter, driving all around in their little yellow cars. Secret Fighter, fighting on the ground and reaching for the stars. And man, it was a hit, I gotta say. Every night after that, it was, sing the Secret Fighter song, Dad, and we would Secret Fighter it up. And after 4 or 5 nights of that, I realized that on the first night, he hadn't been asking for Secret Fighter at all. He'd been asking for Eensy Weensy Spider. Well, it was a tough time for me the day when the kids each became too old to be interested in being read to aloud or being sung to at bedtime. I really treasured those evening rituals, those traditions. And now, of course, I treasure the memories. And that's where Angela Lloyd's telling of Pig Wisp, one of Carl Sandburg's bedtime stories, took me. Where did the story take you? And who will you take along? It's a pleasure to be with you on the Appleseed today. Next up, we're going to get some advice from Aunt Marguerite, Andy Offutt Irwin's fictional 85-year-old aunt, who just happens to be a doctor. Aunt Marguerite is at the center of a lot of Andy's stories, including this one. Here's Andy with a story called Shayla's Prescriptions.
Marguerite walked into the little examining room, and there was a lady on her phone, and she was just going to town on her phone. She had those little earbuds without the, you know, without the antennas on them, which is going to put the radiation in her head. She was concerned about that.
Oh, we don't know what's going to happen with that radiation in your head, and now you have those little things, and you know you're going to lose one, and that will make good people cuss. Little girl, about 7 years old, she's got a lollipop in her mouth, and she's going at it with the lollipop. She's trying to tear the wrapper off the lollipop. Marguerite could tell that this mama and this little girl had just come back from the bank because the label of the bank was fading quickly on that lollipop. Marguerite hoped that was food-based ink. The mama was in her phone. She couldn't hear what was going on. Hello. The mama kept playing on her phone. Hello. Marguerite didn't realize it, but the lady was playing Candy Crush while her daughter was trying to crush candy. Finally, Marguerite waved her hand in front of the lady and said, hello, may I help you? Oh, Dr. Van Camp, it's so good to see you. And it was time for this little girl to have her examination before school that year. So Marguerite did that, and she had to get a couple of shots for her inoculations. And finally, after that was all over, and the little girl was kind of crying, but Marguerite wasn't going to give her a sucker because she was still going at it. Do you have any questions before we proceed with the rest of everything else? We're finished. Do you have any questions you're concerned about? And Marguerite could tell this lady had rehearsed this. She said, Dr. Van Camp, is there anything you can say to my daughter to instill in her heart to go for a life of more healthful living?
That's a mouthful, isn't it? I got to tell you, the gymnasium at the college near my house, the name of it is now the Center for Healthful Living, which means we've taken the last of Latin out of higher education. Gymnasium, which literally means naked room. Look it up. I didn't make that up. Anyway,
Well, Dr. Van Camp, can you say anything to my daughter?
Well, Marguerite didn't want to be in charge of this daughter's parenting, and she was thinking, what could she say? Well, I mean, we've been hearing about the President's Council of Physical Fitness ever since Robert Preston sang, "Go, you chicken fat, go!" And the efforts of Michelle Obama. So Marguerite rolled her little stool over to the counter. She loves her rolly stool. When she was a little kid, her grandfather had a rolling chair. She wasn't allowed to play on it. But she's 85 now. She can roll all she wants. She rolled over. She picked up her prescription pad. When she picked up her prescription pad, she started to think. And she pulled out her father's fountain pen. She loves this pen. It's a pre-cartridge Schaefer fountain pen. This is the pen that he would write notes to her with. When she was a little girl, when she did something that her father didn't approve of, he didn't scold her, he didn't even talk, he wrote her a note. He had big business stationery that was to be typed, and he had little business stationery for writing. And he would write the little note to her. He would date it at the top, opening and closing salutations. Well, a while back, not too long ago, Marguerite was cleaning out books. She was pretending that she was going to throw some out. And she came across a copy of God Bless You, Mr. Rosewater by Kurt Vonnegut. She loves that book. Her father never got to read the novels of Kurt Vonnegut, but her father loved the short stories of Kurt Vonnegut in the Saturday Evening Post. And she thought about her father when she read that book, and marking a particular passage that she loves, she found one of those notes with her father's fountain pen. And she opened the book and opened the note. She could tell by the date that she had been 9 years old when she got this one. And it simply read, "Dear Marguerite, don't open stuff with your teeth. Love, Papa." That's where this note belonged. She folded it back. She put it back in the book. So when she pulled out the fountain pen, she rolled back over to the little girl. And she said, "Shayla, how do you spell your name?" And the mama said, "Say, my name is Shayla. My name is spelled S-H-Y. Shayla, how do you spell your name?" S-H-A-Y-L-A. "Shayla, do you know what a prescription is?" "Dr. Marguerite, she's just a little girl. She doesn't know what a prescription is." "Shayla, do you know what a prescription is?" The little girl shrugged. "A prescription is a set of instructions that a doctor writes to a patient. I'm going to write you 3 prescriptions. Is that all right?" Shrug. Marguerite rolled back over. She wrote the first prescription. She ran, rolled back over to Shayla. She handed Shayla the prescription and read it out loud. "That says, eat plenty of fruits and vegetables of various colors." Marguerite knew that Shayla's mama was Southern, so she said, "And remember, broccoli should be green, not olive drab." Because we do overcook vegetables in the South, y'all. And then she rolled back over, and she wrote another prescription, tore it off, and rolled back over to Shayla, and it read, "Go outside and play. Make sure you run and make sure you get dirty." Shayla laughed. She took the sucker out and she laughed. Nobody had ever told her to get dirty before. And then Marguerite rolled over one more time. She thought carefully. She wrote the prescription. And she pulled out her father's Schaefer pocket knife and laid it on the counter. She keeps that knife with her everywhere she goes, and she uses it every single day. She uses it when she goes to the grocery store to buy grapes. When she buys grapes, she's going to taste 2 grapes before she buys them to find out if they're worthy of for her to bring them home. And then, you know, you don't want to go home with sour grapes. And then she takes the knife and she puts them in the bag to be weighed with the grapes. The knife weighs more than 2 grapes. She's not going to steal grapes. That's one way she uses the knife. Another way she uses the knife is when she goes out to eat. She usually goes to the Townhouse Cafe, a little place in our town. there's the old Mr. Ham who runs the place. Now his son Cedric has taken over. Marguerite always uses a straw. I know straws have been getting bad press, but Marguerite has the Parkinson's, and she has to use a straw. It used to be a plastic straw with a paper wrapper, but now Cedric buys these black straws with clear wrappers. It's more formal. It's new packaging that she can't open, and she knows, and this is true, a lot of packaging is designed to make old people die more quickly. And there at the restaurant, she looked at that straw, and she pulled out the knife, and she opened the large blade, and everybody's sort of watching this old lady with Parkinson wielding a knife in the restaurant. It took her 3 tries, but she finally got the tip of the knife on the end of the straw, and she pulled the straw. Success. She's not going to die of dehydration today. So there, in the examining room, she pulled out the knife. She laid it there. She pulled out 3 paper towels. She rolled over to Shayla. She presented the paper towels in the palm of her left hand at Shayla. She looked at the paper towels, looked at the little girl, looked at the paper towels, looked at the sucker. Finally, the little girl took the sucker out and placed the sucker on the paper towels. Marguerite rolled back over to the counter. She opened the knife. Shayla's mom said, She touched the tip of the knife on the lollipop. She pulled the lollipop away. She rolled back over to Shayla and handed her the open lollipop. Shayla had no incisors. She'd been doing all that work with her molars. Molars are not for that. And then she tore off the prescription and handed it to Shayla. And the prescription said, Dear Shayla, don't open stuff with your teeth. Love, Dr. Marguerite.
Andy Offutt Irwin with his story, Shayla's Prescriptions. If you had advice, a prescription, let's say, for a happy life, to share with other people, what would it say? Are there bedtime stories that you loved as a kid or as a parent that it's time maybe to remember again? Have you ever had an irritant in your life that transformed into a treasure? I bet there are stories there. We want to thank Angela Lloyd and Andy Offutt Irwin for sharing with us today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, Brian Tanner, and Kira Van Dam. Our audio engineer is DJ Cromarty, and the rest of the Appleseed team is Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. And if you like today's podcast, subscribe, rate us, leave us a review, and tell your friends. That's how the podcast grows. We also love to receive emails. Email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word. @byu.edu. Your thoughts and comments help us shape the future of the Appleseed. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom, where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of the Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on the Appleseed.